Today's reading comes from Job chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. But ask the animals, and they will teach you, or the birds in the sky, and they will tell you, or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, or let the fish in the sea inform you. Which of these all does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind. Here ends the reading.
Let's pray. Gracious Father, maybe sometimes we don't really understand fully or appreciate what it means to acknowledge you as Creator and what the implications of that are. As we go through the Creed, and particularly the first line today, my prayer is that we would walk away more significantly and deeply appreciating what it's saying. That we would walk away understanding our value, our place, and our destiny. In your name, amen. You can be seated. Yeah, so here we go. We covered a quick history of the Creed last week, and now we're going to begin this week by looking at it kind of section by section. And so today we start with, I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Interesting juxtaposition of two ideas in that one line. An intimate word like Father over and against a cosmic word like Creator. How do those two go together? What's in a name? We have a lot of fun with names in our culture, don't we? Oh, yeah. All you have to do is watch a football game to get that. Let's watch Key and Peele have a little fun with the way that football players have their names. Watch.
Hi, everybody. I'm Dave Stass, alongside Jeff Worthing, and welcome to the annual East-West Bowl. As we get ready to watch some of the best college players in the nation showcase their skills in a classic showdown between East and West. And there really are some characters on this year's squads, aren't there, Jeff?
That's right, Dave. It does seem like the most flamboyant personalities came to the forefront, and they are here. Let's meet the players from the East.
Marcus Williams, University of Georgia.
T.J. Jackson, Wayne State University.
Tavarius Smith King, Merrimack College.
Todd Royal, Smoochie Wallace, University of Miami.
Desquarius Green Jr., University of Notre Dame.
Ibrahim Moizus, University of Tennessee at Chattanooga.
Jack Marius Tack Theratrix, Michigan State University.
The Isaiah T. Billings Clive, Coastal Carolina University.
The Jasper Probenkruk III, South Carolina State University.
Lee Oz Maxwell Jr., East Carolina University.
Javaris Jamar Javarison Lamar, University of Middle Tennessee.
Devoyne Showerhandle, University of Southern Mississippi.
Hingle McKringleberry, Penn State University.
Le Carpetron Duke Marriott, Florida Atlantic University.
Jadigalish Morgun, University of South Florida.
X-Miss Jackson Flaxen Waxen, California University of Pennsylvania.
We're going to be looking for big plays all game long from Tyrol Smoochie Wallace.
And let's not forget the tight ends, Ibrahim Moizus and Hingle McKringleberry. They've both had amazing seasons.
That's right, Jeff. Now let's meet the players from the West.
Vegetariat Jeffers Ben, Texas A&M.
The Gloucester Hot Dunker Chud, University of Wisconsin.
Swerverton L. Gooding Splat, Saskatchewan University.
Quattro Quattro, San Jose State University.
Oshawa Taz Buckshank, Stanford University.
Visa 12 Washing Beard, Jones College.
Shakira Kwan TGIF Carter, University of Northern Arizona.
X Wayne at Aliciousness, Missouri Western State University.
Sequester Grundleplith, M.D., Adams State.
Scoy's Velociraptor Malois, South Dakota State University.
T.J. A.J. R.J. / 4th the 5th, Albion College.
San Diego State University.
Donkey teeth. Boise State University.
Torque. Lewis. Nevada State. Penitentiary.
Blair, formerly known as Mouse Cop. University of Missouri, Columbia.
Dan Smith, BYU.
Isn't that great? Oh, what's in a name? In ancient times, to know somebody's name was to either intimate at intimacy, in other words, to say we were connected, or even to maybe potentially have power over that person. In ancient times, people were very reluctant, oftentimes, to give out their names because of the implication of that. What's in a name? When it comes to God, everything. Recently, a teacher at Wheaton College suggested that Muslims and Christians worship the same God, just by a different name. Franklin Graham came out strongly, vigorously against that idea, and I would agree with him. What we call God matters. It matters because God says it matters. His name is holy. His name is unapproachable. We think about this idea of I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. When we start with even the idea of creator of heaven and earth, we have to go back then to the Old Testament. In the beginning, right, was darkness, chaos, emptiness. And when we see the name of God in the Old Testament, this is what's written oftentimes in the Hebrew. But when you look at it in your English Bibles, every time you see the word Lord, all in capital letters, that's the name. When Hebrew people read the Old Testament, they do not say the name. They replace it with, you've probably heard this, they replace it with Adonai. Adonai is not the name. It's a replacement. Hebrews did not even want to utter the name for fear of violating the third commandment, taking the Lord's name in vain. That's how holy the name of God was considered. This is what we call the tetragrammaton, the four-letter name of God. No vowels. Oftentimes, you'll hear people say that the word is Jehovah. That's actually an incorrect Latinized version of it. It's really not, Jehovah actually is not the right word. You'll hear a more correct version when you hear people call it Yahweh. Yahweh. But even that isn't actually fully correct. Because what we've done with Yahweh is we've inserted vowels. There are no vowels in that. You wouldn't know that. But then again, believe me, Hebrew is really, really difficult. One of the hardest classes I took. It's very, very difficult language to get your head around. But no vowels in this. If you were to pronounce this name, it would not sound like, certainly not Jehovah, and it doesn't also sound like Yahweh. Now do me a favor. Just take your fingers and feel your pulse. Just feel it. Now I'm going to ask you two questions while you feel that. Do you think that the universe is an accident? Because lots of people want to tell you that. And secondly, do you think you're an accident? Is what you feel right there accident or intentional? Is it random or is it design? Take a deep breath in and exhale. When you exhaled, you said the name. That's how you say that. It means breath. It also has some deeper meaning. We'll get to that in a second. The holy name of God. Now, when we think about God the Creator, a lot of times people will look at creation, they'll look at the cosmos, or maybe they'll be in some awesome, massive vista somewhere looking out. And I've heard people say this. I've heard them say, when I think about the vastness of the universe, or the immensity of the mountains, or the grandeur of you know, vistas and stuff, when I look out over that stuff, it actually makes me feel small and insignificant. Small and insignificant. And oftentimes, scientists will, in fact, re-emphasize that. They will affirm that. Carl Sagan, early on in his life, said this: "Who are we? We find that we live on an insignificant planet of a humdrum star, lost in a galaxy tucked away in some forgotten corner of a universe in which there are far more galaxies than people." So what he's saying is, it's an accident and you're insignificant. It's an accident and you're insignificant. But that's not what the creed says, is it? It says something far different. And when we view creation that way, I would suggest that Sagan is wrong, that he's mistaking the setting for the story. I'll say it again. He's mistaking the setting for the story. Here's what I mean. Let's go back to football. This is Dallas Cowboys Stadium. They call it Jerry's World because the owner is Jerry Jones, and he bought it all with his own money. He built it. It's really quite something to look at. How many of you would walk into this stadium and behold what you see and say, "Wow, that was an amazing accident at the steel factory"? Would you do that? Not even, you wouldn't even approach that thought, would you? Why? Because when you look upon that, you assume what? You assume design, don't you? Yeah, engineering, architecture, design, purpose, thought. Massive stadium, sports the world's largest video screen there hanging in the middle. It's something. And yeah, you could walk into it and sort of be in awe of it, right? Now, juxtapose that with the Cowboys quarterback, Tony Romo. When he's not injured, he's half decent. He's half decent when he's not injured, right? And, you know, in these days in the NFL, if you're a quarterback, you just better expect to get injured, probably. Now, this is not to scale, though, right? This would be more accurate to scale, wouldn't it? Now, let me ask you this. All of a sudden, within the vastness of this stadium, Tony's just this little tiny speck. Does that make him less significant? The answer is no, isn't it? Because nobody goes to the stadium, sits in the stadium, and looks at an empty field and cheers. They wait and go to the stadium to watch what? The game. To watch the story unfold. And Tony Romo is a what? Very important player in the story. So when we consider the vastness of creation and feel insignificant, we look wrongly upon creation from the biblical and godly perspective. Because even though creation is massive, we are the ones that are a part of the story. The creation is the setting, but we are the players in the story. So it's important to, I think, get that straight. To get that straight. The Hebrew sages had this figured out in the right way. They, in a way, affirmed the words of the creed. Even though the creed is a Christian thing, the Hebrew sages later on would affirm that with this little thing. Now, you have the little yellow stickies on your bulletins. If you want, you can do this today. Do this before you come up to communion if you'd like. Take it and rip it in half. Get out your pen or pencil, and then write on one side, one of them, "I am but one of billions of sands in the universe." Fold it up and put it in your right pocket. Then take the other side and write down, "And yet the universe was made for me." Fold it up and put it in your left pocket. and hold the two ideas in tension. That is right thinking. That God, the impronounceable name, is vast and holy and unapproachable in His light and is the creator of all things. And we are so small in scale. And yet that God invites us to call Him Father. Father. Read it with me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. That's right. And here John, mimicking the initial words of Genesis 1, right? Sounds like Genesis 1, doesn't it? In the beginning, right? What does it say in Genesis? In the beginning, darkness, chaos, emptiness. And then it said that what? God, what? What did He do? And then God said, let there be light. The Hebrew sages said this, that in the inhaling, God took the disorder into Himself, and then when He exhaled His name, the Word brought forth order to creation, light to darkness, and filled emptiness. It's a beautiful thought, really. Breathe in. Let it go again. Say the name. You are intimately connected to the name, and you say it every single moment without thinking of it. Jesus, the living Word of God, present in creation. And it's through Jesus that we learn that we can call God Father. The name, the tetragrammaton, the four-letter name, collectively, Yahweh, breath. But each letter also has a word associated with it. Yod, He, Vav, He. And when you take it into context, here's what the words are. You ready for this? Behold the nailed hand. Jesus' name. They didn't call Him Jesus. That's a different Romanized version. His Hebrew name was what? Yeshua. What did that mean? Yahweh saves. And so think about what the name of Jesus says. Behold the nailed hand that saves. Oh yeah. It's all just an accident. Right? This is what God is meaning when He says, my ways are higher than your ways. We have no idea how much, do we? No. And what little we know just blows us away. I believe in God, what? The Father Almighty, Creator in heaven and earth. And it says, the Word then became flesh. This God took flesh upon Himself, made His dwelling among us. And we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of truth and grace. I saw something on Facebook that I really liked. That I really liked the other day. Shared it with the kids Wednesday night because I think it's true. How cool is it that the same God that created mountains and oceans and galaxies looked at you and thought the world needed one of you too. Feel it again. Are you an accident? You are not an accident. You are not an accident. What you feel, that is intentionality. And you say his name every moment. Pete Briscoe shares a story about his father, Stuart, who was doing he's a pastor, and he was sharing the gospel with hippies in Liverpool back in the 60s. Listen to this story. I think it's pretty good.
I grew up in England. My dad was in England his whole life. Until he was about 40, and then we moved to the States. But when he was a young man, he would do a lot of work in the coffee shops in Liverpool, pretty tough spots, actually, and all the hippies would hang out there. And he tells a story about one day going into one of these coffee shops, and it was all hippies, young 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. And one boy sat down at his table and looked at him and said, "What are you doing here?" And my dad says he had flowers in his hair, and it had been so long since he'd washed his hair that my dad wondered if the flowers were actually growing there. He said, "Well, I'm here to have conversations with you guys." And the guy said, "Well, what do you want to talk about?" And my dad said, "Well, you know, life and why we're here and purpose." And the guy looked at my dad and he started to laugh and he goes, "Purpose?" And my dad just said, "So why do you think you're here? I mean, why are you on the planet? Why are you taking up space?" The guy looked at him and he said, "You know what? My parents told me I was an accident. And because of the way I live my life, I'm assuming that my life will end in an accident too, that my death will be an accident. And so the way I kind of see my purpose is I'm an accident suspended between two accidents." My dad took out his Bible. He had it with him. He had like a little pocket Bible with him. He went to Psalm 139. "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Doesn't sound like an accident to me. It sounds like incredible purpose, that every single day that you live, God ordains it. Yeah, my dad shared the gospel with him, walked the whole way through it. And my dad said, "Does that make sense?" He goes, "Well, the story makes sense, but something doesn't." And my dad said, "What?" And he said, "I don't think you really believe that." I said, "Why would you say that?" And he said, "Because if you really did believe it, you would have been down here before now, and you wouldn't leave till all of us had agreed." And he stood up and walked out. It was a stunning moment for my dad. I know a lot of people struggle with this. A lot of people look at life and it seems purposeless, meaningless. In fact, there's a book in the Bible called Ecclesiastes, really wealthy, rich guy who had everything, and his conclusion was, "Man, every day under the sun is just kind of meaningless. You go after everything you want, you get it, and it's just kind of meaningless." And I know a lot of people feel that way, but the rest of the Bible teaches us that it's anything but meaningless. There's tremendous purpose in life.
Are you an accident? Just suspended between accidents? Is everything that you see an accident? Was this morning's sunrise an accident? Was the baby that we just heard an accident? God sings his creation into existence. And there's rhythm and harmony. Do you feel the rhythm? You say his name. We can call God Father because God is creator. He is almighty. And if there is a creator, that means there's design. And if there's design, that means there's purpose. And if there's purpose, that means there's relationship. This is why he's your father, because he's your creator. He knew you even before you were knit together. And he knew all the days and numbered all the days of your life. You can believe that, or you can choose to believe it's all an accident. It's your choice. But the creed affirms, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And by the way, you. He's your father. He's your father. By the way, I'm not anti-science. I happen to have a very strong, healthy respect for chemists and biologists and physicists and cosmologists. But I just happen to believe that the mystery of this creation far exceeds what we have attained in knowledge. And it's okay to hold those two things in tension. Amen? Great is our Father. And he knows you. We're going to continue now with communion. And I want to welcome you to come and have a time of prayer and healing if you feel that you need it. What we'll do is we'll do communion like we generally do. But as you take it, if you need prayer, feel free to either come back this way on this side or come back around and come over here. And we will have prayer people. Sam will be there also, Pastor Sam, to pray. We want to welcome you to prayer for anything in your life. Prayers for healing, whatever it is that you feel that you need. And take advantage of the opportunity to connect with your Father. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful and we stand in awe of the mysteries of your created order. We so often take for granted the fact that our very breath testifies to your name. And that in your mightiness and your holiness, you condescended yourself. You became less. You took flesh upon yourself to come to us so that we might know you. To take our sin upon you so that we might take your righteousness, your holiness upon ourselves. I pray that the first line of the creed would never sound the same to us again when it rolls across our lips. In your name, amen.